evening, and welcome to NDB Media's Monday Night America. Of course, I'm your host, Roger Noriega. I want to give thanks to Robert Summers Potterton III for his composition of our opening theme. Find his website at rsp3.com. Any advertising opportunities, folks, we do have them available here on NDB Media. Go ahead and email me at roger@ndbmedia.net. You can find us at ndbmedia.net. We're also on Facebook. You guessed it, NDB Media. And we're also on Twitter, NDB Media. So stop by, let us know. Always, we appreciate your emails. We're not going to get into any of those today because we've got some great stuff that we're going to get into real quick. But I do want to announce we're starting a giveaway. Yes, we have one. This week, we're going to be giving away How to Train Your Dragon 2 on Blu-ray and digital. Later in the program, we will reveal the code word, and once you do, fire off an email to the aforementioned guy, meaning me, roger@ndbmedia.net. And don't put a D in Roger. I know it's probably Roger, but as I've been told all my life, but it's R-O-G-E-R, not R-O-D. Because if you go that way, it's going to go into the nether regions of the internet, and that's just not a good thing. But as soon as you hear the code word, and we may be asking our guest to come up with a wonderful code word that is unique to this program and this week. So, as I mentioned, fire off an email once you hear the code word. And then I believe on Monday we're going to announce the winner. All of the programs on ndbmedia.net are going to be doing the same thing. So go ahead, fire off an email once you hear the absolutely awesome code word from our absolutely awesome guest, which will be joining us in just a moment. In the email, don't forget to include your name and shipping address, of course, because we have to mail it out. No, we're not digitally inclined just yet. But we will be mailing out the copy, which I'm holding in my hands right now. How to Train Your Dragon 2. Of course, we may do a video feed on our Facebook page as we choose the winner. So there you go. Last week, folks, we want to remind you that we started a brand new tradition, or it was something that was going around the workplaces. Remember, the Christmas 2011 tradition, buy locally, buy from everyone and anyone that's around you. Don't go for material things. The money's going to go overseas anyway. Keep it here at home. Gift cards, those are neat. Take people out to places locally. That is absolutely awesome. That way the wealth stays in America. Yeah, that was a three-minute speech, and I gave it in 10 seconds. So it's all good. It's a big day in history, folks. We'll get to that at the very end of the program. And boy, is it cold here in Southern California, man. It's only 57 degrees. So if you do hear, like, something blowing in the distance, that's my space heater. It's cold in the office. So I ask you to bear with me. And everyone in the chat room, thank you for joining us. Don't forget, if you want to call in, the number is 914-338-0314. Don't forget to press 1 on your keypad, and we know you want to have us take your call. So, I think we're good. Got a lot of stuff I want to get to. As a matter of fact, our guest is a super guest, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to be asking him, what has he not done? I don't think he's going to have an answer for me because I believe he's done it all. I was thrilled when we were able to book him. We're going to be having him on in just a moment, Mitchell Levy. The gentleman is accomplished. He is famous for ahathat.com. He is an accomplished entrepreneur, and I may have said that twice, so forgive me. He has created over 20 businesses in Silicon Valley, including 4 publishing companies that have published over 800 books. Mitchell is also a TEDx speaker, an international best-selling author with over 60 books. He's provided strategic counseling to over 100 companies, has advised over 500 CEOs. Man, I spoke to a CEO once in my life. He advises them on critical business issues and has been chairman of the board of a NASDAQ-listed company. In addition to these accomplishments, he's been happily married for 29 years and regularly spends 4 weeks annually in a European country with his family and friends. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask the man of the hour, the one who's joining us, Mitchell Levy, who was very much quoted, or he himself used the quote, ladies and gentlemen, the shower curtain goes on the inside. Good evening, Mr. Levy. How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Love that quote. So much fun. It was actually done on primetime TV by the owner of Hilton Hotels. So he was on the Johnny Parsons show, and that was the prime message he wanted to communicate to the American public. Ladies and gentlemen, the shower curtain goes inside the tub.
Let me tell you, when I heard it on your TED Talk, I did chuckle. It was one of the most obvious things, and it was great. I think you set the tone very well. And the TED Talk, which I referred to, is on your website, which I did not mention, young man. Would you share your website with us? It just sounds better when they're...
No, but when you say that, the first question, well, which one? Given I've got at least 20 active, probably 100 I've created, but I think you're referring to the website MitchellLevy.com, and that has the TED Talk on it. You could also Google Mitchell Levy TED Talk and see it directly on YouTube. But MitchellLevy.com is what you're talking about.
Yes, no doubt. And I do appreciate your clarifying that. You also have another website, which I spent some time visiting, which had quite a bit of information. And I know you're going to correct me. I know I'm not pronouncing it correctly or saying it, but it's ahathat.com. Did I get it right?
That's beautiful. No, beautiful. Perfect.
Oh.
Yeah. So it's ahathat.com. And it's I'm glad you liked it and spent time. Is there anything in particular what stands out when you looked at it?
Well, as a matter of fact, there was quite a bit, Mitchell. I just very briefly, I don't want to bore the audience because they already know this. I am a public employee. I work for a local government agency here in Southern California, but I'm also self-employed. I am entering 31 years of a financial planner. I'm a tax preparer in January to be 31 years, and I also drive for Uber and Lyft. I do almost everything and anything.
You're an entrepreneur.
You've done a lot. But anyway, yes, there's no doubt that I am. And I guess I'm jumping to the very end of some of the stuff. I took these notes down, and I don't want to steal your thunder because I know you want to get to something real quick, but what really stood out for me the most was integrity, authenticity, but also being vulnerable. But I said it in the incorrect order. You said vulnerable, integrity, and authenticity. That's what stood out the most for me.
Oh, interesting. But that came from the TED Talk, which is nice. I was trying to wrap my arms around the concept. So the TED Talk, for those, I'll give you the spoiler alert, is we do business with those we know, like, and trust. And what I do as in my firm, we have a done-for-you ghostwriting service. So we ghostwrite books for people. And so what I do in the firm is I actually am helping with your ability to get known and your ability to be trusted. Because the author of a book that addresses the pain point that somebody has is almost by definition trusted, because if you wouldn't have wrote a book unless you knew something about it. And being known is one of those things that happens, and we do a lot of talking, and I have a lot of discussions on social media and other things I do on how to get known. And there are so many people out there that will help with that area. The thing I didn't talk a lot about is the like piece, which we could cover later. But when I was thinking about trust, I had given a lot of thought to that one and wanted to come up with a simple model. And the simple model is what you mentioned, and that is, you end up trusting somebody if they demonstrate vulnerability, if they actually live with integrity and share authenticity, so they're really showing who they are. And so what happens, I think, even in business or even a public employee for 31 years ago, people didn't demonstrate vulnerability or integrity or authenticity. There was a person who went to work, and that person did a job and had a persona, and that persona was different than the person they were when they went home or the person they were when they were with friends. And what I see these days is the person who is the person I want to play with, I want to interact with, I want to work with, I want to partner with, is the person who's the same, whether that they're home with friends or they're working. Because I think what I also said in the TED Talk, if work equals play, then we can play all the time.
Yes, that's right. Now, your firm does quite a bit of stuff, and I know we're going to get to that. And like I said, I'm going to be jumping around. You know, Mitchell, I apologize. I should have warned you. I am like that tangent that cannot be nailed down. I follow it, and I go off everywhere, so I do apologize.
Beautiful.
I will be jumping around.
No, not needed. Not needed.
Yeah,
well,
well, we'll see. You've written 60 books. You mentioned that, of what your firm does, but you yourself have written 60 books. Wow. I'm trying to write one, and do you know how far I've gotten? Yeah, that's how far. That's it.
Actually, it's now up to 62, but, you know, who's counting what's two books here or there? Well, by definition, anytime you publish anything on a piece of paper, it's outdated at the time you first print it. So here's the interesting part, right? So let me ask you a question, I guess, before I even do this sort of preaching what works, what doesn't work is, why do you want to write a book? What's the importance of it for you? What's it mean?
For me, it has nothing to do with my business. I'm still probably going to be, God willing, still be working about another 20, 30 years. So I have really nothing along that. Mine would be a story. It's a fantasy story. It's not 50 Shades of Grey or anything like that. No, this is more like science fiction, action adventure.
Oh, a different sort of fantasy. I got you. Okay.
Oh, you, there you go. Yes, erotic as it may be. Yes. I have stories to tell, and I've been formulating them for at least the last year, year and a half now, but I haven't begun yet because I'm trying to, I am doing it backwards. I'm creating the universe first. Duh. And so I could tell the stories inside that universe.
I don't see an issue with that. That sounds like an appropriate way to go. Just so you know, and the audience knows, I don't work with fiction or poetry, cookbooks. I don't do any of that. What my books, the things that we focus on, are the assets that are used by either companies or individuals to help them from a business perspective to be able to get known, get liked, get trusted, and do more business. But if I'm thinking about what you're doing from the fantasy world, I think if I start listening or remembering some of the stories that J.K. Rowling had in the Harry Potter series, she kind of knew the universe that she was living in. She kind of knew the end result before she started, and then she crafted in her mind the concepts behind each of the movies. So each of the six books.
It's seven.
Is there seven books? I know there were seven
yes.
movies, because one of the, but I thought there were six books. I have to Google this now. I'm really curious. You're
actually,
probably
I
right,
do apologize.
Let's verify.
There are the original seven books, but there are eight movies.
Ah, okay.
I am a hardcore, forgive me, yeah, I am a hardcore Harry Potter fan. I grew up with it, but I would see the movie first, and then I would read the book. I was at that point in my life where I was like, oh, wow, I'm not going to read the book, and then, you know, and have it ruined. No, I'm going to see the movie and then read the book, and I've done so, and I still have the last book to read. I've gotten six of them in. But, yes, seven books, eight movies, and now she's got two more movies. Go figure.
Oh, yeah, there are seven books. I just Googled it, and yep, sure enough. Got it, thanks.
Okay.
So, anyhow, what happened is she,
Mitchell,
crafted the universe, right, and then lived with it. So.
Yes, famously, she did it in a coffee shop, I believe, or a tea shop, where she did it on napkins, and she wrote all of her notes, and she went from there and changed the world. I do apologize to the audience and to Mitchell as well. There is a 1-second delay between Mitchell and myself. So if we do speak over each other, I do apologize. That's just because there is a one-second delay. But knowing that moving forward, I think we'll do just fine. Go ahead.
Got it. So what different sort of book, the type of books that we do, the things that I'm interested in, if you're in business today, the question becomes is why did people do business with you, right? Well, first, if they know you, that's one good reason. If they like you because they interacted with you, that's another one. And by definition, they're going to pay you money to do something with you if they trust you. They trust you to get their job done, whatever that is. So for those people we don't know, how do we get known, liked, and trusted? The known and trust part is the most efficient thing. The best thing you could possibly do is actually write a book. And the book you should write, and this is, like I said, focus on people in business. The book you should write is the what you have to first think about is who is your customer? What problems do they have and how do you solve them? And I affectionately call that the CPOP, your customer's point of pain. And the book that you write should be your CPOP, your customer's point of pain. And then the interesting part is you don't need to spend 1,000 hours writing a book or hundreds of hours writing a book. And actually, the way we do our business as a ghostwriting firm, you're going to spend 5 to 10 hours. We'll do a 2-hour interview. We'll pull the genius from your head, and then we will write the book from there. And the title of the book will be your CPOP. And what will happen is someone will see that book, and they'll go, wow, this is somebody that could help me out. And then inside the book, there's 140 bite-sized quotes, 7 blog posts. So those bite-sized quotes, the intent of the quote is to get somebody to say, yeah, I get it. It's got this person understands what I'm going through or what's going on. This person can help solve my problem. Let me approach them and have a conversation or whatever is appropriate to then get to the point where people are buying your products or services. And so the short answer, that's what we do. And if you were in business and needed to do a business book, for us, we save you 310 hours by allowing you to spend five or 10 in the writing process or the writing and reviewing process, and we do the rest.
So the answer, if this were Johnny Carson, I would now say, how can I write a book in 8 hours or less? Right.
Well, for you, that'd be Carnac speaking. Yes. And the thing is, if you decide to write yourself, for those who want to write themselves or are interested in the ghostwriting service, we have a 3-step writing process. And so I don't know if it's relevant for fiction, but you could take a look at our 3-step process, and it might be interesting for you to go through pieces of it. And so go to ahathat.com, ahathat.com/author. And we list the 3 steps there and the tools that we encourage people use to actually deliver results and make it happen. So it might be an interesting way. And if you do take that approach, I'd love to hear about it. If you end up doing it, I'm happy to talk about the 3 steps if you think it's interesting to the listeners, but you know, go to ahathat.com/author, take a look at the 3 steps, and that it might actually help you. I'd be curious to see.
I will take a look at it. I saw almost everything else on the website, and I do want to let the audience know, which I'm kind of messing with Mitchell just before we went live. I said, wait a minute, there are no secrets on your website. You put it all out there. You know, usually in social media today, I was listening to that. It's 2 words, social media. People try to, and this is just me now, people try to, I guess it's called clickbait or something, where they try to get your attention with this big old line, and they trap you by listening to something which takes sometimes 5 minutes, 10, 20, 30, and then you still have to pay before whatever it is. And, well, that is America. That's the way the world, you know, moves. But there are no secrets to what you're sharing, Mitchell, and I'm really impressed by that. You're putting it out there. You have a philosophy. You have a way of going about it, and it's like, wow. It's, and I want to tell that to the audience. It's all there. It's not. You're not holding anything back, unless I'm wrong.
No. It's an interesting. it's an interesting thought, right? So one of the things I've come to conclusion with, and particularly this year was a very big transformation for me in terms of the business, is
yes.
that is, as far as humans are concerned, we kind of fall into one of three categories. You know, one category is a category of people who essentially want to do everything themselves. That's called the do-it-yourself crowd. Another category is they kind of want an expert around to help them, but they'll do it themselves. So that's the done-with-you crowd. And then the third crowd is those that they're doing so many things, they don't have any time or they don't know how to do it. They're willing to pay the money to get somebody to do it for them, the done-for-you crowd. So what I realized this year is my audience is the done-for-you crowd. It's the crowd that is successful at what they do. They're making money. They realize the most precious commodity. I didn't say the word precious right. It's sort of like the ring you put on your finger, precious. I should try that a couple of times. But the most precious commodity they have is time. And so they're willing to pay to actually get things done. So that's the crowd we're going after. And for those people who want to do it themselves, you know, why shouldn't I tell them how to do it? And because I'm not afraid or I'm not concerned, if somebody's a done-for-you client and they see exactly everything we do, that's going to help reinforce that we know what we're doing. And if they decide to do it themselves, that's fine too, right? I think probably for somebody who lives in California, how horrible does it make you feel when you catch the clip of a news clip and the person in the air says, 10,000 people died right around the corner from you. And then they just cut off and you're like, well, where around the corner? There are fires going on. What's going on? Right? And you're like, and then you're forced to come back 30 minutes later when the show is on air. And in the meantime, you're Googling everything to see what happens. And, you know, it's just funny. It's kind of our news environment that people drip out pieces and they want to encourage you to come back. And my philosophy is, listen, here's expertise that I have. Let me share it. If you want to do it yourself, please do. If we can help you, then, you know, either I'm going to help you because you watch my services, or if you need help, then you join one of our, you know, either a mastermind program or a consulting service or office hours or whatever I do there. And then most importantly, because we're helping so many people be successful, if you have the money and not the time, you get encouraged to say, oh, this person can help us. Let's just go with that person, right? And that's what the firm is structured to do, is to make it easy for you to know, like, and trust us, because everything is out there. And like I said, if you want to do it yourself, please do. But if you recognize the value of time, you're going to want to pay us to let us do at least that piece of it for you.
Yes. As a matter of fact, you stated in the TED Talk, your time is limited. And dare I say the word you used a moment ago, precious. But no, it's not a Lord of the Rings thing here, but it is. Time is precious. It is limited. It is finite. And that is what you're offering clientele, right? Is, hey, look, we get it. We know. And we do this awesome service. Is that a reach, or am I kind of right on that?
No, that's perfect. That's actually perfect. So my sales pitch these days is simple, that you can't, you know, as many people say at the end of their lives, particularly those that have a ton of money, I don't have a lot of money, but if I did anything different, what would it be? And they say, well, I'd want to spend more time, more quality time with, and then fill in the blank. Right. So what we do, since you can't really buy time that way, what I could actually say is for our service, you're going to spend 10 hours of the 2-hour interview up front and then review time. So it's actually technically it's 5 to 10 hours, and I'm going to save you 310 hours. So here's the thing. Fast forward. Imagine 4 months from now, you're an Amazon best-selling author, because we do an Amazon campaign, of a book in paperback, hardcover, PDF, Kindle, also on the AhaVat platform. You're an Amazon best-selling author 4 months from now, and you have 310 hours in your life you didn't have before. And imagine if you sold your product or service for 310 hours as an Amazon best-selling author. Think about how much money you'd make. That's how I sell. That's what I sell.
Yes. Yeah. No, I see that, and the value is I'm probably getting to the point where I want a mentor and I want to get out there. I still have a home-based business myself, and this is just talking about me very quickly. My clientele is beginning to boom, and it's only because I've always grown 10% a year, but when you start with two clients, 10% is not that much. I am at over
Your first client was like 4 years old or something? I mean, how did that work? Or do you only take on midgets?
Very funny. No, I think they were about my age. And you know what? I just started doing taxes for them. And now it's funny. I rarely ever tell this. Not only am I doing the taxes for the first client, but I've done them for, the son. And now I'm doing it for the son of the son, which is wow.
Oh, my. That's amazing. Yeah.
That's crazy. But I am getting to the point where my clientele is growing, and I have had the thought of wanting to share my knowledge and experience. But the tax field and financial field is so tumultuous right now. It's like, oh, man. I just want to get through what's going to be happening in the next year, year and a half, because it's not going to be good for anyone. But that's neither here nor there. I know that, you know, for me, I would be looking to do something like that. And I am a small-based, home-based business. I only have 300 clients, but it is growing. And I see the value of it.
300 clients is not bad. I mean, that's a beautiful thing for 300 clients, right? So what you should think about is what is that gift you could send your 300 clients that would encourage them to want to give you one or two or three referrals each. That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it definitely would be. And the reason why I mentioned to you earlier about the three things you mentioned in the TED Talk that stood out to me is being vulnerable, integrity, and authenticity. That hit with me, Mitchell, because in my experience, my clientele grew. I used your phrase without even knowing it. I do tell my clients, hey, you know what? I don't have an answer for you, but I've got to find it. And I can give you a real life testament or testimonial. Don't want to get religious here in any way, but I can give you a testimonial that your phrase rings true. When you tell a client, you know what? I don't know, but I'm going to find out. Wow. It's priceless because they
oh, it is. And,
you
but,
real.
Oh, I know. And obviously you do this. You tell them you're going to follow through, right, which is showing you're vulnerable. I don't know. Vulnerable. You then make a statement. I'm going to follow through, find out, and let you know. And then the integrity part comes in when you actually do follow through.
Yeah. Yeah. There was once or twice in my 30-some years where I had to say, I don't know, and we're just going to work through this and see if we can get through it. And that might have been an IRS audit, so I don't want to get into that. But anyway, now, you mentioned you've been doing this for some time. You've now done 62 books, and you did touch upon it a while ago, that there's been some major change in your business in 2018. Now, you hinted to me earlier about business people reading books. What did you want to say that really changed now? Did I set that up right?
So I'm not sure, but I can cue that and go in a number of different directions. So I'll do that. Let me I have two. One, the interesting part is there's so much content. There's so many things coming after us on a daily basis. People aren't reading as much as they had. I mean, you don't see people sitting around thumbing through a physical book. Now, you have a lot of people who have longer commutes who are doing reading their books via Audible. So, you have to make sure that your book also has an audio version associated with it. But also people get their information from YouTube, they're watching videos, they're doing other things. And so the consumption, what you have to think about if you're in business, so given what you do, what you have to think about is who are your customers and where do they consume data? Where do they where do you get to meet them, right? Because that's where you want to play. You want to give information. You want to share stuff. You want to put things out there in a place that your clients are playing. And then now here's where I'm going to do the transition since you made a, you sent me a cue. Is that okay? Can I move over to the transition to the next thing?
By all means, Mitchell.
All right. Well, thank you. So what was interesting to me, why 2018 was fascinating is 2018 is when I first started doing the Done For You service versus prior to that, between 2005 and 2017, I actually was serving the wrong audience. The audience I was serving were the people who actually want to write their own books. There's nothing wrong with that audience, and I still have three publishing companies that will publish books for people who write their own books. But the Done For You service, man, that is – for me, it's beautiful to talk to somebody who is successful in business. Having 300 tax clients, that would be successful in business. And you and I talking about actually creating an asset that will bring you more clients, man, that's where I live. That's what I love doing. Now, I said something really important there. Now, here's what I said. Creating an asset, i.e. a book, that brings you more clients. Now, the interesting part is when my clients come to me, the Done For You clients, their point of pain, what they're actually saying to me, they're not coming to me and saying, hey, Mitchell, I need a book. Actually, they do say that. But what they really need, if I'm digging underneath, they want more clients, right? They're looking for their pain point is not, oh, my God, I'm dying. I need a book. Otherwise, my business will disappear. What they're really saying is I want more clients. Somebody at some point in time told me that a book is going to help me bring more clients. Can you actually create a book for me? So, yes, we can create the book. What this last quarter has been for me, which has been extremely fun, is not client acquisition. So now that I can speak what I do and tell people how we can save them time, client acquisition is relatively easy. What's been fun this last quarter is partner acquisition. Because if my clients are looking for more business, a book by itself doesn't bring them more business. You need to do something with the book. Whether or not you're doing a mail campaign where you're physically mailing the book to people and doing follow-up phone calls, whether or not you're doing Facebook advertising or LinkedIn engagement and follow-through with conversations, or whether or not you have agencies, marketing agencies, who are getting you either press, PR, or podcasts, right? And so what I've been doing and what I'll release next year is I'll go to market with 12 different partners who did different things that with the Amazon best-selling book, we can then deliver more opportunities to pick up clients. And that's been a really fun part of the end of this year. And so I came up with the number 12 today. I probably talked to 30 or 40 people. I've got at least 8 who I really like, which will be sort of people we will do joint ventures on. And, you know, in a joint venture in this case would be there's a guy I'm working with who does great stuff with LinkedIn. And via LinkedIn helps me get probably about 5 calendar appointments a day. Right. So,
wow.
So the offer will be, hey, let's do an Amazon best-selling book and create calendar appointments. And we'll promise something like 10 super qualified or 15 super qualified calendar appointments a month. And then the question is, how many of those do you close, and what's that worth to you? There's an agency I just talked to this week, and today's Monday, then it was last week, or it was Saturday. But the agency, they deliver 6 to 8 impressions, media impressions per month. So once again, get your Amazon best-selling book and get these media impressions. Now, media impressions don't necessarily lead directly to clients. So then if you need something to do clients, then you need something like the LinkedIn campaign or a Facebook campaign or some sort of funnel, right? And so for me, it's been fun to be thinking about the world that exists today and where things go. And a lot of companies, what they do is they create this white label version and they say they can do it all. I don't want to go to market that way. I want to go to market that says, hey, listen, what services do you think work best for you? Ah, you're a Facebook person. By the way, somebody doing tax, my guess is you're a LinkedIn person, but who knows, right? And so the question is, what's the right thing that works for you? And based on that, let's put together a combination of some of the partners, and you should know who the partners are who are executing for you, right? It's not this nameless, faceless person, right? Because Mitchell Levy doesn't do all the pieces. All I'm doing is I'm vetting people I want to work with who can serve you. And that's been my the end of 2018 that I absolutely love. And I don't have an answer yet of how I'm going to present this next year, but my first author that I pitched it to, which was today, absolutely loved what I was saying. And he may be a client of three of my partners. So we'll see how that goes.
Wow. That is so cool. Now, I mentioned the word earlier, social media, because you mentioned it. I was listening. I really was, Michelle. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm calling you Mitchell now. I should be saying Mr. Levy. Excuse me.
But, No. Mitchell's fine. Absolutely.
That's cool. I appreciate that. You mentioned social media, and I even threw back at you, and yes, it's two words. Did you tell the audience what – because I think it social media has a lot to do with what you just said right now.
So, you know, here's the coolest thing. This technology, although the internet has been around for 40, 50 years, the social media has been around for 20. And since the invention of the web, we have put in the hands of anyone who wants it a microphone and a camera. So that means you could have an audio program like this. You can have a video program. Anyone who wants to be a Kardashian can be one. Not that we want many more Kardashians in the world. So,
very good.
So the interesting part is, what do you do when you now have that microphone? And this is one of those things that is so obvious to and so obvious and so wrong to many people. Because you have this thing, social media is two words, the word social plus the word media. And so many people think, media, I have a microphone. I could talk in a microphone. And the thing I like to equate it to is, if you've ever been into a store that has a microphone, and if you're a parent and you have your five-year-old or six-year-old with you, and somebody thinks the person responsible for the microphone thinks your kid is really cute, gives the microphone to your kid, and you're sitting there going, oh, no, please don't do that, because you know what your kid's going to do. What are they going to do when they get the microphone? They're going to say, hey, I can hear me. Listen to me. Oh, my God, I'm so cool. You can hear me throughout the store. You know, how do the patrons think about that, right? They're not very excited about it, or if their parents are like, ah, another one. That's what typically happens when somebody gets on social media. They go, hey, look at me, I'm cool, right? Hey, there are millions of billions of clients around the world. If I just tell everyone how amazing I am, people are going to figure that out. That's actually not how it works. And given that you watched the TED Talk, you know what's coming next. And it's simply those two words, social media, that phrase, you want to put 80% of what you do based on the word social, not the word media, right? So what happens in social media when you're being social? Well, you're talking to people. You're interacting with people. And so the best way you could think about this is if you're in a physical environment, let's say you're in an office, and somebody brings you your printout that you sent to the printer or a cup of coffee because it's the right time of day, and they brought it to you and they put it on your desk, and let's say you ignore them. They came back the next day and they did it again, and you still ignore them. They may or may not do it the third day, but let's say they come back the third day and you still ignore them. Do you think they're coming back on the fourth day? The answer is no.
No.
On social media, though, so what are you going to do? You're going to be nice. Somebody brings you coffee or your printout, you're going to say, oh, my God, you're going to look up. You're going to look at them and go, that's so amazing of you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. They encourage them to do it again. So on social media, when people like us, love us, share our stuff, forward our stuff, comment our stuff, why do we ignore them? Once again, you ignore them because you're assuming that they're going to do it on their own free will and they're going to do it all the time. And the thing is, the best thing you do in social media is actually comment on the people who touch, like, comment, share your information. So anyone shares my stuff, as long as I see it, and sometimes you don't see everything, but as long as I see it, I'm just going to, even if I say something like, hey, thanks for sharing, really appreciate it, right? Just an acknowledgement that somebody's done something interesting for you. And being social on social media will pay off far more than just trying to shout out that you're cool.
Definitely. When you mentioned that in your TED Talk, you said most people see it as one word, social media. But it really is two words, social and media, which you made very clear right now. That just stood in my mind. And I believe it was just shortly thereafter, and I think it also applies. You also mentioned something along the lines of practice being in the present. I like that. Mm-hmm. I didn't mention that to you earlier. That was good because I don't do that. But yet I understood what you were trying to say. Could you share that with the audience, what being in the present?
You know, it was when you give a TED Talk or you do something that's important and you want people to remember, right? You want to make sure that they can put their arms around something. So we talk about trust. We talk about VIA, which is vulnerability, integrity, authenticity.
Yes.
We haven't really talked a lot about being known, but we kind of know what known is. And being present is part of what I talk about in terms of how do you be liked. And so once again, I was sitting back and I'm thinking, why are some people liked more than others? And really what it comes down to at the end of the day, you like somebody if it appears or if they really do care about you. Right? Somebody cares about you, you like them, or maybe you love them if they're a family member or a good friend. But what happens is that word like is somebody is likable, they're approachable, they seem present, they listen to you, right? So what I thought about is one of the best ways to be liked is or to demonstrate that you like somebody else is actually to listen to them. Because if they're talking and all you're doing is talking over them, you're demonstrating that you're not likable because you don't care what they say. You just want to say what you want to say. You want to shout. And so that's the being present is actually just paying attention to who you're with at the time you're with. Because if you are present in any situation, you will receive presence from those around you.
Oh, I believe that wholeheartedly. I'm sure you know what I'm about to say, but this is something that I've learned over the years. People don't listen. And that has to go with the same thing about where people don't read anymore because we're short on time. We have so many things that we want to do and get around to. But I've learned in my business that I am in many ways, I mean, I know everything about my client. I'm their father confessor. I'm everything. I know everything. I do not have 30-minute appointments with my clients. Easily I could. I don't. Every appointment is an hour and a half. Let me tell you, Mitchell, it can get hairy if every appointment is an hour and a half. The reason why I do it is because when my clients visit with me, they want to speak with me. Sometimes they want to talk to me, and I know it. I'm probably not going to earn any money out of it, or off of it, I should say. But I do it because no one else is listening. And I guess that's why it stood out when you said practice being in the present. That was important for me. I like that because I may not do it all the time, but when my clients visit with me, I have to set the time aside. No one else listens, Mitchell. Would you agree that no one has time to listen? Even some people who are even close to us. We don't. We're frazzled. We've got things to do, right?
Well, you know, your mom said you should never say never or always.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'd go as far as to say no one wants to listen. What I will say for a guy who says he's not in the present, putting aside the 450 hours to be able to have one-on-one conversations with your clients is a really nice person who demonstrates that you are in the present with your clients when they're with you.
I try, and I will, excuse me, I'm not getting emotional. I try. not all the appointments go that way, of course, as you can imagine. Some really are done in 8 minutes. it happens that way. But some of the clients that I've had for several years, yeah, they do want to have a conversation. And I actually look forward to those clients. Eventually, all of them become that way, but not all. And you're right. I shouldn't say what you said. I'm generalizing. I did like that, and it's not about me. I do apologize. Practice being in the
Oh, no, but we
– I like
we,
that.
We appreciate that. You like it, right? I mean, when you go to your doctor – you have a problem, you go to your doctor, you're going to want to feel like the doctor is paying attention to you and the doctor is giving you the time that you need. Now, there's a point in time where they've got to say no, but if the doctor just gave you 2 minutes, hey, listen, all I can tell you right now is this, and they told you half the prognosis, and then they go, I'll tell you the rest next week. Obviously, that's not a doctor you're going to keep, right? So you just think about who you are and who you interact with. And who you want to be and who you want to interact with. And just so the next time you're with a client, make sure you're giving them the time they need to be able to feel like they're heard, to feel like they're listened. And here's what's interesting. If it turns out that you consistently spend an hour and a half with all your clients and as the clients grow, there's only so many clients you can have. Well, then what you do is you increase the dollar amount you charge per client, right? Because they're getting that much more service for you. And that will limit potentially the number of clients you have. It will still increase the amount of money you make because you're increasing, because you're delivering more value to your clients, you can charge more, right? And that's how you do those sort of things.
If my grandmother were still alive, she would reach across and probably give you a kiss on the cheek right now, Mitchell, because my grandmother herself said, you will never be rich, Roger, because you never charge your clients very much. So she right now would have said, oh, where were you 30 years ago when I just started? I think that's funny. I know if she were here, she would say that.
It's so funny, and I would I'd probably turn the other cheek and get a cheek on kiss on both sides of the cheek. I'd say the thing to be thinking about is it's about supply and demand, right? So when you get busier, that doesn't mean the service you deliver has to get any lower of quality. It actually means you could charge more and deliver more quality, and so it's just I don't know. People are interesting that way. But if you're delivering super valuable service, it's hard to ask existing clients because they're not going to want it. Nobody says, hey, I'm only charging you X. Hey, do you think I'm worth two times that? And no one in their right mind is going to say it. On the other hand, one of the things that people do as they start getting busy like you do is they may go to their clients and say, hey, listen, I'm looking for a customer testimonial so I can close more clients. I'll tell you what I'll do. Give me the testimonial, and I'll grandfather you at this price range for the next 2 years, or something like that. But I'm gonna slowly be increasing. I figured I'd bring in your grandfather since you talked about your grandmother. I'm gonna be increasing my prices. I'll keep the current price the same for you for 2 years, and then we'll slowly start moving that up because my price is now double what it was in the past. Right. So there are ways in which you can do that as a business. And as long as you're talking to your clients about it and not surprised, they'll understand.
Yeah. Wow. There's another thing. Mitchell, I definitely learned, even just in the last few minutes, quite a bit from you. I learned through the TED Talk on your website and even right now what you're sharing with me. I'm going to ask something of you right now, which I know you heard a moment ago. We're well into the program, ladies and gentlemen. I have to come up with the code word. But Mitchell is really awesome in what he does. I'm going to ask him to come up with a code word or phrase. So here it is, folks. You're here at this point of the program. You're listening. It's going to be your submission for the DVD that we're giving away. Oh, sorry, the Blu-ray of How to Train Your Dragon 2. You're waiting for the code word, Mitchell. What is the code word?
So you've given a marketer the opportunity to do marketing do you yeah. recognize there is no other code word I can give besides aha that?
Oh my God, I really thought you were going to aha that. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. I gave it some thought. I really made it up just before I went live, before you called me, and I said, wait a minute, I've got to have him give the code word. So, and then I thought of all the different phrases. I said, well, if this were Roger, he'd probably say RogerNoriega.com. So I was figuring you might say MitchellLevy.com. No. I think it's going to be aha. That's cool. AhaThat.com. Oh, man. I like that one. I do appreciate it. So, ladies and gentlemen, you have it. That's the code word, aha that. And that is one of his websites, ahathat.com. It is one of the many things he is. Mitchell, we have spoke of quite a bit of stuff today. I now know exactly what it is that you do, the offerings that you have. You know, you provide an important service, really, for someone such as myself. I didn't even think of that. It would be someone. I've been in business for 31 years. I am growing, and I don't advertise. It's all by word of mouth. I don't advertise, and I guess, wow, imagine having a book to come out to be the, coming of age story. And that could be mine. I could have my own book. But, Mitchell, you've done quite a bit of stuff, and I'm going to get a little bit personal here. You mentioned that you get to travel 4 weeks a year in Europe. I imagine you've been to many places. Could you share 1, 2, 3, 10 stories, whatever you'd like, about maybe places you've gone to and or maybe even some of the people that you've met? I know you don't name drop. You have not dropped one name. But is there anything that you could get away with?
Well, no, it's funny. Many people, they sell by saying they were with so and so at this point in time,
yeah.
or they did that.
But
and
you
I,
didn't.
You know, there's, oh no, and there's many of those things I could say. It's just not, it just doesn't seem, it's not my style. It doesn't seem that way.
Fair enough.
So, first I'll say what happened is it was during the dot-com days. I'm in Silicon Valley. I'm working. Silicon Valley people typically work, you know, 16, 18 hours a day. I was working 7 days a week. And
yeah.
my son was born, and he was about one. And I always ask people, hey, what do you do? How do you raise kids? How do you do things better? And somebody gave me advice. And they said, hey, why don't you take 1 day off a week and spend it with your son? And I go, oh, my God, how cool is that? So I went to my wife, and I said, hey, honey, I got a present for you. All right, she goes, okay, tell me. I said, I'm going to take 1 day off a week, and I'm going to spend it with Duncan. Duncan's my son's name, and we affectionately call that day Daddy Duncan Day. And my wife
cool.
was smart enough. My wife was smart enough to immediately say, what about me? And I was not smart because I was thinking the gift I was giving was for her, but it turns out that was a gift for me. Taking a day off a week, and she was smart enough to recognize that she was the primary caregiver 6 days a week, and I was the fun guy to take my son out 1 day a week, that was my present to me, not my present to her. So that's when I thought about what should I do, and ultimately I spent a couple minutes, and I said, well, what if I took 4 or 5 weeks off a year, and we went to some city in Europe? And that's how that tradition, we've been doing this now for 18 years. Some of the favorite places, my favorite was during the dot-com days in Italy. Our first house was France, second was Italy. As far as a city, we like the UK. Absolutely love Paris. I think the two I's are our favorite, Italy and Ireland. And as far as people are concerned, Ireland is the most amazing. So we've been to Ireland at least twice. We sort of squeezed in a week at some other point in time. But when Duncan was 8, we went to Ireland. And we went right smack in the middle of the country. Nobody goes visit there. We were in the big house in the town of 500, which, by the way, had 5 pubs. And, you know, when your son's – of course, right? So we adopted a pub to be ours. And the first thing that happened when we – when we went inside the pub, this one pub which is ours, it was like that Sunday morning. We flew Friday night. It was my wife and myself and my son, and we're eating a. At first, I think my son or my wife ordered a English breakfast, and we're like, we're in Ireland, so Irish breakfast, and we are finished eating, and the barkeep looks at me and just says, stay, and looks at my wife and son and says, come, and it's Ireland. I'm like, oh, okay. So, and basically he took them both to the back. In the back, there was a trampoline. They called it a jumpy. And once my son saw the jumpy, he's like, oh, my God. So, I mean, what a beautiful bartender, because he got my son to want to go to the pub all the time. And so as we're spending time in Ireland, we may be traveling and touring during the day. And when Duncan would say, hey, Dad, I want to go to the jumpy, we'd say no. So after about 2 or 3 days, he got really smart. It was about 2 in the afternoon, 3 in the afternoon. He'd look over at me or look over at my wife and go, don't you think it's time for a pint? And we're like, yes, it is. Smart thinking. and what was fascinating, at 8 years old, the barkeep let him behind the bar. He figured out how to pour a Guinness. He pours a really nice Guinness. And it's just, it was nice family focus. It was the Irish people just seemed to care about family and people around. It was so worthwhile. So when Duncan was 17, he comes to us and says, okay, I'm not going next year. I'm 18. And so I'm not going to go next year. Once I'm 18, I'm not going to go anymore. So this is our last year. And so my wife and I talked about it. We thought about all the places we went. And we go, hey, let's go to Ireland. It's the most friendly people, right? And so we booked a trip to Ireland when Duncan was 17, and about 2 weeks into it, you know, he had made some friends, and he comes to us and he goes, you know, Mom, Dad, if you don't mind, I think I might come back with you next year because I want to come back and visit these friends in Ireland. And we looked at each other and said, aha, it worked. And so I think those are the types of things I think about is I technically, on the business side, I technically don't go to conduct business while I'm there. That said, even though I'm not doing business, I've closed more business on my trips to Europe to pay for all the trips 3 times over. And it's sort of, as a business person, when you're not thinking about your day-to-day stuff and you start elevating your thoughts somewhere higher, sometimes magnificent things happen. And so if you're present, even with friends and family around you, if you're running a business and it's part of your life, all of a sudden these business thoughts are going to come your way. And, you know, sometimes interesting things happen.
Goodness, yes. What a closing point. That was absolutely awesome. Yeah, it's true. I travel the times that I do, and I'm still doing a little bit of business. I try to get away, but it does happen. And that I understand. Wow, Mitchell, I appreciate the story. I don't know if you told that to anyone else. I'm betting I don't think many people know that story, and I want to thank you for that.
My pleasure.
it is cool. Mitchell, wow, we have spent an hour. I think it was a good hour talking about everything that you have, but I'm sure there's a lot of stuff I may have missed, even some simple stuff. What would you want to leave our audience with? The aha moment. What is it that I missed and I didn't give you an opportunity to talk about? What would you like to do?
Roger, what a good interviewer you are. Well, I'll leave two things. I'll leave a word of wisdom and then how to reach out to me. So the word of wisdom, if I'm going to pick one of so many things I've learned or that we've all learned in life, is if you can go through life with one mentor and two mentees, you'll be a significantly better person for it. And recognize that the importance of a mentor is you need to seek out somebody who has a particular skill set you want to learn. And then you approach that person and saying, hey, you are good at, and you fill in the blank, and I would love to learn it. Can you help? And by the way, the mentee, that's the person who does the work. You have to recognize that when you're mentoring somebody else, that you're going to learn as much from your mentee, hopefully, as they learn from you. And you have to be, once again, present and ready for the opportunity to learn from the people who may be not as superior to you in what they're learning from you, but are far superior to you in many other ways. So it's worthwhile to pay attention. That'd be my word of wisdom.
Wow. That's absolutely awesome.
In terms of reaching out, listen, guys, if you want to share content on social media, on ahavapp.com, we have 47,000 AHA messages. The platform is free to use, free to share. If you want to listen to AHA messages 24 hours a day, go to ahavapradio.com. And what we do is some of the authors who have read their books, we play them continuously on ahavapradio.com. If you want to write your own book, go to ahavapp.com/author. You can either write your own book or have us ghostwrite it for you. And then if you have additional questions, feel free to just Google my name, Mitchell Levy, and connect to me on the social media platform that you want to interact on. So LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, Google+, Pinterest, Snap, Instagram. And typically what I want to do is make sure I'm at the place that you want to play, because that's how it makes sense. That's how I can listen if I'm listening in the language that you want to communicate in. So, Roger, you did great. I had a whole lot of fun. I appreciate your being present for this hour with me.
Just as you were, and I humbly accept that. Let me tell you, Mitchell, you have a lot to share with a lot of people. I believe you have a lot of good to offer. Your success speaks for itself. I would love, at your convenience, anytime you want to share anything new, you want to come back and have a conversation, you want to make it a quickie or a longie, however you'd like, we would love to have you. Yes, my people, we'd love to have you back. Seriously, Mitchell, thank you. You really do offer a service that a lot of people don't know about. I'm sure the executives, the CEOs, people who know about your service, they do, but a lot of other people don't. And I know that the word is getting out, and I'm glad I'm a part of that in helping to get your service out and your concepts, your whole way of doing business. You know, Mitchell, it's real. I'm not kidding when I said those items stood out for me. It's because they did strike me. And I'm just a small guy out here in Southern California, and it affected me, and I'm listening. And those concepts are going to help me. They're going to help other people. And I look forward to, again, whenever you want to have another conversation. We're here, young man. I'd love to learn about any new thing that you're doing, and I know the audience will. The problem is we're going to be getting emails after this. I will forward the emails to you then, and who knows? Who knows
That'd be great. But Roger, yeah. maybe we'll come online together when we're talking about the book that we work on for you.
Wow, there it is. Hey, I'm thinking about it. I want to share my knowledge with people. I tell my clients, what are you doing? No, you need to do this. One of the things that I share with them is I want you to know what taxes are, so that you can be able to make the decisions. I don't necessarily have to be there. I can, but I'm not always going to be there. I want them to know so they can control their future. And that little thing at the end, Mitchell, I believe you and I do have in common. We want the people that we deal with to be able to control their own future. And if we can help them, all the much better.
Agreed.
Yeah. All right,
what a pleasure.
Again. Oh, it was a pleasure as well. So I do look forward to it, and you have an open invite. Any announcements you want to make? I'm following you already on LinkedIn, so it's all good. I invite everyone.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Oh, yeah. I was following you as of a few days ago now. So, ladies and gentlemen, MitchellLevy.com, ahavapp.com. He has numerous other websites. Check it out. There's a lot of stuff there. The service of being able to establish yourself by having your own book, your own calling card, if you will, because that's what it is, right, Mitchell? It's a calling card.
Absolutely. It's it takes the concept of having a physical card, because what happens when you hand somebody your card, it goes in their back pocket, and most of the time it doesn't go anywhere else. Whereas a book, it will end up on somebody's shelf, somebody's bookshelf, on their desk. How cool is that?
How cool is that? And you guys will forgive me a moment. Do you know the thought that just came to mind? Did you see the Richard Dreyfuss movie where he plays a psychiatrist? What About Bob?
Yes.
Do you remember that movie? Remember? He's pushing his book, Baby Steps. I don't know why.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know why that moment just came to mind. And it was just funny how he's talking about the clients. And he says, oh, and bill them for the book. Baby steps.
Yeah.
I just thought that was funny right now. Anyway, that was What About Bob. But anyway, again, not trying to be overtly funny. Mitchell, thank you. Again, I know I'm taking more time. I know we agreed on a few minutes, but we definitely went over an hour. Wow. You have a great service. I wish you the best. I'd like to hear some more stories in the future. And I, it doesn't hurt to name drop one. I'm going to drop your name, pal. You,
all right,
you
next time when we do the prep up front, just say, all right, Mitchell, why don't you make this one about your either people you met, so that's one way to do it, or more appropriately, I'm happy to talk about my authors. That's a fun story, too. It's just me talking about what authors have done with their books and how it's changed their lives or their business or how it's failed. I mean, those are great stories.
You know, Mitchell, we could have done that today, and that's my fault. That is a great thing that we can talk about the books that you've actually done and the material that's in them. That would be awesome. We won't give the story away, but it would be worthwhile to talk about the material that's out there. Yeah, can't be spoilers, unlike your websites that give it all away, but just kidding.
It's not a bad thing to share your wisdom, because if people like it enough, the do-it-yourself crowd is going to say, that's it, I got it, they'll do it. And then if you have some service they could use where they don't need you, then they'll take advantage of it. The done-for-you crowd or the do-it-with-you crowd, they're going to want to hire you. So that's the right way to think about it.
And now we have the answer to the age-old question, folks, how you can write a book in 8 hours. I love it. The code word, aha that. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. This is Monday Night America. He's Mitchell Levy. He's doing what it takes to get it done. And I'm glad we had a chance to talk to you tonight, young man. Thank you.
Me too. Thank you so much. Have a great one.
All right, man. Thanks. You too. We'll be talking to him soon.
Take care.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
All right,
that's it. Thank you. Godspeed, man. We'll talk to you soon. It's MitchellLevy.com. And if you want to check out his TED Talk, it's MitchellLevy.com/TED Talk. It's in the description here on NDB Media. And you heard it all, folks. Can't wait for the letters. We will be talking about you as I forward the emails over to him. Ladies and gentlemen, what a glorious night. Fandom Access is on tomorrow. Oh, my goodness. The Rock and Roll Shrink will be on Wednesday. Of course, check out the schedule at ndbmedia.net. A lot of stuff, a lot of programming. The year's coming to an end, folks. What a better way than to actually get stuff done. For those of you that are in business, and I have a lot of you, could you imagine having a calling card as a book? It doesn't get much better than that, folks. We're out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, hey!